sidewalk and drop and make all these sports desk here and then we can have a change in our hours and this is what's it all.
Yep. Live again on Jaguars.com, 2014 NFL Draft. The Jaguars have two selections in the fifth round, 144th overall. They go linebacker Telvin Smith from Florida State, 6'3", 218-pounder out of Valdosta. And with 159th overall pick in the fifth round, it's Arkansas defensive end Chris Smith. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Well, the defensive trend continues.
Right. Defense. And that whole Senior Bowl thing that we talked about all offseason,
right.
Sometimes you hear those things and it happens. Sometimes you hear those things and it doesn't. Four straight Senior Bowl guys now. So clearly they used that time to get a feel for these guys.
Four straight Senior Bowl guys. One of those on the north. The last three were on the south team with the Jaguars staff. First off, Smith, linebacker, FSU, speed all over the field.
Yeah, and sideline to sideline guy, to use the term that I've been Googling all afternoon, right? But he's a guy who's very good in coverage, very fast. As we heard on the conference call a few minutes ago, very fired up and very confident to be here.
Chris Smith, one of the top pass rushers in the SEC the last couple of years, fourth in sacks in that league the last two seasons, 6'1", 266 pounds. And could be a nice rush end here.
Well, and you want to keep perspective on these things because these are second-day guys who are clearly developmental guys. If they were expected to be impact, they'd have been taken on day one. But seems to fit possibly that Leo role. So as you're looking for guys on day three of the draft, what you're looking for is guys who show you something that you think might project into something very, very good in a couple of years. So that's what this Chris Smith pick is about. Let's see if we can find a Leo guy, diamond in the rough, who can become a pass rusher in a year or two.
We're expected to hear from Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, expected to address the media in the room next to us here shortly after a couple of picks in the fifth round. The Jaguars do have some other picks coming up today, of course, a little bit later. The Jaguars will be a sixth-round pick and a seventh-round pick as well. So a little bit of downtime, at least, for the time being.
And interesting to see this play out. You can sort of see the plan now. It was clear they thought they needed, if they were going to find guys out of this draft to improve immediately, it was going to be on offense. If there was any needs being filled, it was going to be on offense. Two wide receivers yesterday, obviously expected to play immediately, with the guard also expected to have a chance to compete for next year. And then once you get into day two, a little less expectation for those guys to play right away. They went big free agency on defense, and now they have really stockpiled depth, potential competition and special teams on the second day of the draft, which logically you would have thought they would, but a lot of times in the draft logic doesn't play out, but they have followed that plan.
And what a difference a year makes, right? I mean, last year this was about getting guys that could start right away. Mm-hmm. Now, as we mentioned before, earlier today, it's about getting a little bit of depth, which is the direction you really want to go.
And that is. They talked a lot last offseason that because of the circumstances with the roster when they took over, they had to force guys like Ace Sanders into the lineup. They had to force guys into the lineup that they knew at that point in their NFL career have trouble being impact guys in the sense of winning games. So this year what you hope is that these guys that we're talking about today, if you ask Dave Caldwell, you don't want to say he hopes they're not in the field because you hope you find a diamond in the rough.
Right.
But generally speaking, you don't expect those guys to be on the field, and you hope generally that you're deep enough and good enough in your starting lineup that you don't have to play those guys if you don't need to, or if you don't want to. I'm sorry.
Sure. The Jaguars have selected two players in the fifth round. Again, 144th overall, Telvin Smith, linebacker from Florida State, and Valdosta, Georgia, Lowndes County High School, where he came from, started all last season, a senior year in Tallahassee. Part of the national championship team, of course. And at 159th overall, Arkansas defensive end Chris Smith, widely regarded as a very good pass rusher in the SEC the last 2 years. So, as we said before, all offense the first couple of days, and now it turns to defense and depth. And we'll see what happens round six with the 205th pick, round seven with the 222nd pick today, too. Certainly more depth and maybe even some special teams work there.
The round six pick that will always be known as the Blaine Gabbert pick, right? So, I mean, that's what you look for on draft day is little things like that. And again, I would expect sort of a similar tone. You know, perhaps maybe go to the offensive line interior so you can find some more competition there. But really with those final two picks, if they're going to contribute immediately, it will probably be on special teams. And that's sort of what you look for out of this last day. You look for speed. A lot of times those seventh-round picks are fast defensive backs.
Speaking of trades, remember this is the end of the Eugene Monroe deal, too, today. The Ravens had the pick that was traded, one of the two picks, actually two picks today were selected by the Jags that were traded for Eugene Monroe. It was the fourth round pick, pick 114, Aaron Colvin, the corner from Oklahoma, and this Chris Smith pick is the other part of that trade.
And it was interesting talking to Dave last night after the final pick last night. I asked him in the hallway, you know, is this sort of what you envisioned when you were making those trades for Monroe mm-hmm. in the fall? And he said, yeah, as much as getting 11 guys, at some point in that draft, you thought you might need the flexibility to go get guys. And they knew this was a talented draft at the receiver position, and they knew it was a talented draft on the interior offensive line. And so he used that draft equity that they had built up to go get some guys he wanted. So, Trader Dave.
We're live on Jaguars.com. Let's go next door. General Manager David Caldwell after two fifth-round
picks. Mic check for Vito. No suit. It didn't even change from last night. Yeah.
You just
want
to go through Colvin and Smith and Chris.
Yeah, so right after the Senior Bowl, when Colvin tore his ACL, we had 2 days with him, really impressed us those first 2 days. And, you know, this was always a plan to target him with our second, fourth round pick throughout the draft, barring that the medical stuff we felt like was going to check out up to date. And today it has been, and, you know, he's on schedule with his rehab, and our docs feel good about it. We feel good about it. You know, ACLs nowadays are a situation that, you know, if they're fixed and they're fixed right, that, you know, knock on wood, that we should be good to go there. And we feel like we got a really quality player there and somebody that can kind of be a pillar of our secondary for the future. Yep.
How much did that intrigue you, his physicality and willingness to tackle?
Well, he's a physical player, and he is a good tackler, and, you know, he's an efficient tackler, which is important at the corner position. But he also fits our mold in terms of his length and his ability to press and stay on top of receivers.
Realistic case on when he can be 100%?
We'll probably start the season on PUP. So, you know, we'll see where we're at right around week six as to whether we should activate him or not activate him. But I think we're going to be in the ballpark there, and if everything goes to plan, you know, he'll probably start practicing around that time, and then we'll have some time.
Does your depth at that position give you some flexibility there to let him?
Yeah, you know, obviously in the NFL, it's a bonus that we can keep another player on our roster and not really have him count against our 53-man roster, and you never know how the season unfolds. And if we're rolling, our secondary is playing good, and then, you know, then we put him on, you know, if he's not ready, we can put him on IR. If mm-hmm. It gives us some flexibility. If it's a situation where he's ready to go and he can go, and, you know, we get an injury there and we need a corner, well, that's a good problem to have. So we just have to take it slow with him. But we feel like that there is a good chance that he could possibly contribute towards the second half of the season.
I know the goal is to win now, win as many, but it really looks like you guys are kind of gearing toward 2015.
Well, that's, you know,
the site.
You know, I think for us, it's just the ability to you know, not to preach Gus's philosophy, but to get better. And and this is a player that's that may help us this year. And man, we're not counting out that he's not going to help us. And we're just going to take it day by day and see where it's at. But it's not unrealistic to think that he could help us. You know, he'll be 9 months out. Right around the start of the season, and that's usually the conservative measure for ACLs. So we'll see where we're at with it.
Three straight guys from the Senior Bowl that you guys mm-hmm. coached. Is that kind of just taking advantage of the situation?
Yeah, because, well, Hayes had to bring it up last night that we didn't draft him away from the Senior Bowl.
Right.
So
it wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you?
D-Rock.
So we had to take advantage of the Senior Bowl. So you guys didn't could have known. But yeah, it is, you know, and that's what we said later rounds in the fourth, fifth round, that, you know, when you feel good about these guys from the way they produced and the energy they had during the week and their ability to learn the system, and we got to see if they're a cultural fit here, and we felt like they would be.
At Talvin at 218, mm-hmm. linebacker all the way?
Yeah. He's 6'3". He's got a frame to grow into it. You know, historically, he's been a late bloomer. So he's got room to grow, and his frame has room to grow.
We think that, you know, realistically, he's going to, you know, when he fills out, he's going to be a high 220s, low 230 type of guy.
Where does he need his biggest development size to make a difference?
You know, first off, coming in, busting his butt on special teams, and then, you know, seeing if he can, you know, crack the lineup as a nickel linebacker in passing situation. He runs a 4.49. The ability to match, you know, him with some tight ends, some athletic tight ends, and then he's a space player and he can cover a lot of ground.
His failed drug test didn't bother you guys. He seems pretty adamant that was a one-time mistake.
You know, I think, it did bother us, but I don't want to get into specifics, but we had some very candid conversations with him and let him know that, you know, we drafted five really high, was it five before him?
Yeah.
Five really high character guys before him. And we expect him to follow the lead of those guys, and he knows that that it was a mistake of his, and he's paid dearly for it, and so now he's got the opportunity to make up for it.
Does Jim, it help? Go ahead.
Jimbo called him heart and soul of their defense. Mm-hmm. Does he come off like that kind of?
Absolutely. I mean, he's electric with his energy and his passion for the game, and you know, just talking to him on the phone, you could tell he was down, but he was still very positive and very upbeat.
How much does it help that you've got Gino and Dakota here, guys that have, you know, he's
yeah, you know,
with,
I think it's good. You know, Dakota's a very good role model. So I think, and he's younger, and he's probably been around him a little bit more. So we'll see. We got a pretty good culture and a good locker room. So he just has to fall in line and know what's expected of him, and we expect him to take care of his business.
Christmas athleticism, wingspan, vertical, yep. What was that kind of?
Yeah, he very good arm length, but also ran very well at 4.65, I believe. It was his 40 time. I think he averaged close to 10 sacks over the last two seasons in the SEC. So he's been a very productive pass rusher in the SEC. And then had a really good week at the Senior Bowl against top competition down there, and one-on-one individual sessions of rushing the passer. Gives us some versatility, too. We're going to play him as a defensive end, but feel like that he could, play that outside linebacker spot for us, too, if we need to, or be our spinner in special packages. He's done some of that at Arkansas.
Seemed like he had a lot of speed to the edge on sweeps and stuff like that at the Senior Bowl.
Absolutely. He's a very good football player, very instinctive, and, he's short. And for a defensive end, but we feel like, you know, sometimes I've been around guys like that with Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis that didn't have the actual height, but he's got 34 plus inch arms to make up for that length, and then his speed, and then we feel like him being able to get some leverage helps pass rushers sometimes.
Overall, do you feel like last year in a lot of these games you sort of knew who your inactives were going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the position by position, you're going to have tough decisions each week if these guys are healthy?
Yeah, we feel like we're really kind of raising the level of competition in the team, and we knew it would take some time, but that's part of the process, and we're not done, and we'll never be done on that aspect of it, but we'll see, you know, where it goes.
Going back to Aaron Colvin, you guys decided, like, after the injury that you were going to target him?
When it happened, I remember at the combine, I said, man, we got that extra fourth round pick for Eugene. I'm like, that would be a nice spot to strike on him. And we all talked, and Gus and I talked about it. He's like, yeah. And they did something similar in Seattle with Walter Thurman when he came out. You know, he tore his ACL late in the year. And corners are hard to find. And this is a guy that played at a high level and very athletic and can do everything that we need him to do. So we feel like that, you know, we said we want to come out with some starters. We had starter grades on him, and feel like that this could be a starter for the future.
And Gus went to him at the senior at the combine, mm-hmm. and said, "We're going to take you." Is that, I mean, does that happen a lot, or is that a hollow? It's like sometimes those can be.
Well, we're planning on taking him, we talked about it before the combine that if everything was good, we didn't know where. But we had that second, fourth round pick targeted. So, you know, we had some discussions throughout it and today, and felt like, you know, it's always been the plan. You know, let's not deviate from it.
He said he never heard from you after the Senior Bowl.
No.
So he's kind of surprised.
After the combine, yeah.
You deliberately keep a little profile with him? Or
no, not at all. I just think, you know, there was nothing that we could do with him. We knew he was a great kid. We had 2 days with him at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. All our research was great on him. It was really up to our doctors. I wasn't going to say, hey, well, your ACL looks good. that wasn't for me. We knew that was really a medical issue at that point in time.
Because of his experience at safety, can he help you at all there, or do you view him solely as a corner?
We'd like him as a corner, but he's got flexibility as a corner. He can play outside, and he can play nickel inside, too. So he's going to give us some flexibility moving forward.
A couple more guys.
The drug test, did you go back and study his history in college? Or
who's that?
The drug test with Telvin.
Yeah, I mean, we study all that history, and I think Coach Bowden spoke about him being the heart and soul of the team, and our week with him Coach Fisher, sorry.
Wow, you were like that's living
bad,
in the 90s.
Bad, huh? I was even I was in high school. It's been a long two extra weeks. Coach Fisher talked about him being the heart and soul of the team, and I really felt like, you know, the reports we got on them were good, and hey, they're college kids. We don't agree with it. We don't condone it, but you know, I think we've always said we're not going to take 53 angelic guys, and they're going to have a past and a history, and we just have to let them know what our expectations are for the Jacksonville Jaguars, not only inside this building but outside this building.
But it doesn't look like he has a history of this, so.
I think he's learned his lesson, I would say. You know, it was a very expensive lesson for him.
Well, any chatter on it? Was he gone higher?
We believe so, yeah.
Was that?
Yeah.
Any chatter at all in terms of trying to move down, or were you content just to stay put here?
There was a little bit, but it was more for some future picks, and you know, we wanted to really take advantage of this year's draft and what we had, and you never know when you're trading future picks where that team's going to end up. Could be good, could be bad. So,
thank you guys. We'll be down here at the end up in seventh round. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Coach Bowden,
well, we'll let you off the hook. I don't like